You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm Art Ray. Today's guest is Echo Bodine. Echo Bodine was born with psychic abilities and the gift of healing, including clairvoyance, clairaudience, and clairsentience. A talented and experienced psychic development trainer, spiritual healer, and ghostbuster, she is the author of Hands That Heal, which teaches others how to channel spiritual healing, and several books on psychic development, including A Still Small Voice, The Gift, The Key, and the forthcoming My Little Book of True Ghost Stories. Her website is echobodine.com. That's echobodine.com. She's going to be a featured presenter from February 18th to the 20th in Virginia Beach at the Advanced Psychic Training Intensive, The Key to Unlocking Your Psychic Abilities. Well, thanks for coming on the show today.
Well, I think it's really cool that you guys asked me to be on.
Now, I understand you were born with psychic abilities. What was it like growing up with these gifts?
Well, Art, I didn't realize until I was 17 that I had psychic abilities. And so all my life, ever since I can remember, my parents have always just said, gosh, she's so sensitive to everything. And, you know, I would feel so much when I was a little kid. And I really think I was sickly as a little kid. I was home from school a lot. And I think it was because I would just pick up so much at school. And I didn't know how to deal with all the different feelings I had all the time. And I cried a lot as a little girl. And I could feel, I could look at someone at school and I could feel if they had a tummy ache or if something was wrong at home. And I remember thinking, you know, well, what am I supposed to do about this? And then, you know, they wouldn't come to school for the rest of the week because they were sick or something was going on. And it was really confusing, I guess is the best word to describe it. I just didn't understand why I wasn't regular like everybody else. And I even went so far as to think, well, maybe it's because my parents gave me a goofy name that I was goofy. You know, I kept trying to figure it out. And finally, when I was 17 and I went to a psychic for a reading, she was the one that told me that I was born with all of the psychic abilities and with the gift of healing. And then it all slowly, I mean, it took me a few years to really understand the whole impact of these abilities and just how they did really make a big difference in my life.
Are you able to see auras or spirits? What are your abilities?
I am able to see spirits, and I can see the future, and I see past lives really pretty clearly, almost like they're still, not still, but they're happening today. They come into my mind very clear. I see deceased loved ones, and I see ghosts. Probably the one thing I don't see very easily is auras. It's like I can look at someone, and I don't see their aura, but I have a knowing of what color it is. And it's kind of fun because here in Minneapolis, two sisters that I know own an aura camera, and so I'll just practice with them. You know, I won't look at the screen when someone's getting their aura picture taken, and the numbers or the colors will pop into my head. You know, it's blue with a little purple on the left side, and then that's exactly how it comes out. But I don't actually, you know, Art, I think of maybe the half a dozen auras that I've seen in my lifetime, they were all just by accident. I mean, I just would happen to glance over at someone and, wow, see these amazing colors around someone, and then it would be gone really fast. Yeah, that's not one of my abilities. But I also am able to, I do a lot of health readings because of having the gift of healing. People will come for sessions, and then I can see inside their body and see where they need healing the most. And so that's how I use the clairvoyance, which is the pictures, and then I have clairaudience, which is hearing spirit communicating to me.
Wow,
pretty nice.
Now, you have a gift of healing. Is that spiritual healing as well?
It is very cool. It's called laying on hands healing, just like in the Bible. And when the psychic told me, it was really cool. The psychic said to me, you know, I was born with the gift of healing. And she said, your father is at home with a migraine headache, which he was. And she said, I want you to go home and take out two hankies and put them on your father's head and then put your hands on top of his head. And she said, and then ask God to work through you and send healing into your father's head to heal his headache. And I looked at this woman like she was crazy. And I said to her, you know, I really don't think I have any of this. And she said, oh, yes, you do. You've grown up with your abilities, and you just don't know what to look for. And so, and then I started to think back that, you know, when I was growing up, I always, when somebody was sick, I wanted to go and touch them. And, but I was a very shy little girl, and so that just didn't work well for me, and I never knew what to do. But I would feel so, like if I walked by somebody and then they had a, like if they said they had a stomachache, I just wanted to touch them so bad. But I didn't, because I just didn't understand even why I wanted to touch them. And so that night when I went home from the psychic, I told my dad what she said, and I said, you know, can I just try this? And he said, yeah, but don't hurt my head. And I said, okay. And I put the hankies on his head, and I laid my hands on top of his head, and I just said, okay, God, I'm not even sure how to ask for this, but would you please work through me? And Art, it was like, whoa, all of a sudden my hands started to heat up like little heating pads, and they started to tremble a little bit. And I thought, my gosh, what is this? You know, it was kind of spooky, because it felt like it was not a part of me. It was coming from, it was like a different source, and I didn't really understand it. And then after about maybe 2 minutes, my hands cooled off, and I took my hands off of his head, and he said, well, I'll be darned if my headache isn't gone. And that began the whole journey, really, of understanding a lot of things just about myself and the desire that I had to reach out to people when they were sick. So I've done a lot of healing work over the years. And about, I think it was in about 1980, so I had already been doing this for, it all started about 1965, so it was probably 15 years later. Mm-hmm. One of my guides came to me and said, you need to write a book about healing. And he said, but you have to keep it really simple, because people are starting to complicate it. And I tell you, Art, back then nobody really talked about healing, or, I mean, this was, you know, 1979, 1980. It was, oh my gosh, people didn't talk about these things. And, so what I did was I sat down, and I didn't even know how to write a book. I just sat down and I wrote thoughts out, and I had this sweet spirit guide at the time who would show up, and he would, you know, tell me, okay, now you need to write a paragraph about this. And, well, now don't forget to write a chapter about that. And it was so cute. I had a whopping 30 pages when I was done, and I thought that was like a masterpiece. And a friend of mine was an author, and I said to her, would you just look at this and tell me if you think any publisher would ever be interested in it? And what she did was she went ahead and sent it to her publisher without telling me, and they sent me a letter and said, if you would make this about 90 pages longer, we would like to publish it. And I wrote them back. At first I thought it was like a joke. I just couldn't believe it. And I called her, and she said, yep, she was really guided to send it to her publisher. When I called them, they said, we really need personal stories, because that's what people relate to the most. And so that's how my first book became published. And It's called Hands That Heal, and it teaches people about spiritual healing. It's really a sweet book, and it's still in print.
Where can people find it?
Well, it is, ARE carries it, and it's in Barnes & Noble and, you know, all the major bookstores. It's in a lot of the smaller New Age bookstores. They can go on my website, which is echobodine.com, and there's a store there. They can click on that, and then they can see all the different books and meditation CDs I have, and they can click on it. It'll take them right to Amazon.com. Works pretty nifty.
You talked about your hands warming up when you were healing. Does that still happen every time you heal someone?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, it always happens. And, you know, there's times when I'm in a grocery store and I'll just be, you know, shopping and all of a sudden my hands will heat up. And so what I've learned is, okay, just open up your hands and push the cart.
We'll be right back with more with Echo Bodine on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Echo Bodine.
I'll just be, you know, shopping, and all of a sudden my hands will heat up. And so what I've learned is, okay, just open up your hands and push the cart. Don't do anything obvious. Just put your hands open or open up your hands. And then I just figure what's happened is that there's someone in the vicinity of me that needs healing, may have prayed for healing that day, and simply because I've been, you know, I've told God I want to be a channel for your healing energy. I'm just one of the channels in the grocery store that happened to be there, and so it comes through me. That happens a lot when I'm at a, oh gosh, the wildest time that it ever happened was I was at a Neil Diamond concert, and we had been, my old boss and I had been given these front row center seats. It was just like God himself gave us these tickets. They were a gift from one of our clients. This was back when I was still barbering, and this guy came in and he had these great tickets, and my boss cut his hair and, hey, you guys, I have to go out of town. You want these tickets? And we had tried everything to get tickets to the concert. And so we got to the concert, and we got there early, and we were sitting in the seats, and all of a sudden my hand started to heat up, and I thought, okay, now what do I do with this? And, and I thought, okay, there's how many people here? 5,000 people in the auditorium. And I thought, okay, I'll just open up my hands. So I just kept my hands open, and they got hotter and hotter and hotter. And I thought, wow, somebody really needs some healing. And then maybe a minute later, Neil Diamond came out, and my hands were so fixated on just forward, like focusing right on him, and I thought, wow, I wonder if there's something wrong with him. Didn't know, just kept channeling the healing for a good solid 20-25 minutes, and that was it. And then my hands finally cooled off, and I finished. Okay, and then, you know, the concert went on, and I didn't think anything more about it, because I still wasn't sure who it was for. Well, after the show, we ran into some people in the lobby that we knew, and the woman said to us, you know, it's such a shame that he had to cancel his after show party. And my boss said, what do you mean? And she said, he always has a party for all the people that work for him during the concerts. And she said, but he had to cancel it tonight because his back was in so much pain. And I just stood there like, oh my gosh. And then I thought back to when he first came out on stage, he was very, you know, usually he would come out and just start rocking and rolling. And he came out and he was very gingerly. You know, he was walking very carefully, didn't have that old spark in him. But I did remember that I thought back and I thought, you know, the second half of the concert, he was just like his old self. He jumped up on the piano and he was having a great time. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
You're a psychic development trainer.
Yes.
What is that?
You know what it is, and this is what's so cool, is, and one of the reasons why I love doing this so much is because I took training from a psychic here in Minneapolis, and when I took classes from her, and when she explained things, when she explained things to us in a very simple way, I thought, oh my gosh, well, yeah, I do that, or, well, yeah, I have that, and that's what I do with my students and in my workshops, is that I talk in a very simple language. I don't talk over their heads. I don't use big words. I don't use New Age language that a lot of people don't understand. I just talk in everyday terms, and I help them understand what clairvoyance is, that it's simply pictures coming into their head, and clairaudience, which is simply thoughts coming into their head, and clairsentience, which is that their body senses, their body actually goes in like a barometer and senses what's going on in the room or with different people, and clairgustance, which is the gift of psychic smell. And where that one shows up the most is when our deceased loved ones come to visit us. That's when we usually have the experience of clairgustance, because they'll project a smell to us of like Old Spice cologne, or maybe grandma wore perfume from, you know, Woolworths or something, and it's not something that we smell these days. So I just help people understand in very simple terms what these abilities are, how they can recognize them in themselves, and then I teach them the same exercises that my teacher taught us, and so much of it, Art, is practice. And so when I'm down at ARE in February, we'll be doing a lot of practice on, I'm working Saturday night, giving a talk Saturday night, and then doing a workshop on Sunday, and so we'll be doing a lot of practice. Because it takes time to build up confidence in your abilities, confidence in, for a clairvoyant, we receive our information in the form of pictures. And where I think psychics go wrong is that they can easily misinterpret the pictures that they see. And so it's very easy to give a client misinformation because you've misinterpreted a picture, such as a really good example is people will call and say, I'm getting a picture of a hearse and a funeral and skeleton bones, and I think someone in my family is going to die. And can you tell me who that is? Well, usually when we get those kind of pictures, it doesn't mean that there's going to be death around us. It means that someone is going to have a change in their lifestyle. Okay? But for a beginner psychic, they don't know that, and so that's why you have to practice a lot, get these pictures, and then learn how to interpret what they are. So that's what we're going to be doing, and we're going to be talking a lot about interpretation, building up confidence in our abilities, practicing with friends, and there's a lot involved in it, and that's one of the reasons why I get excited about educating people about it, because it takes the mystery away from, this whole world of psychics and the paranormal, and it helps people realize that they have these things, these gifts as well.
I'm looking at the schedule for the Key to Unlocking Your Psychic Abilities conference, and I see you're not only speaking Saturday night, you're talking on Sunday also.
Yes. So I'm going to give a talk Saturday night, and I'm going to do some readings from the pulpit. That's called from the stage, and I'm going to do the readings more to show people how this works rather than look at me, I'm amazing. That's not what it's about at all. It's okay, this is how I work, this is how you work, how people in the audience work, this is how psychics work. And so I'll be doing that Saturday night, and then Sunday all day I teach a workshop, and oh, gosh, it's just going to be a great day. It's going to go really fast.
Wow.
It's going to be really fun.
Well, I might need some healing myself. I have a sore throat. and a cold. I don't know. Do you do that by phone or do you have to be in someone's presence?
No, you know what? As a matter of fact, I just did a YouTube thing the other day with a guy. This was so cool. But, oh, and I wish I had the address for you so that you could check out this YouTube. They're putting the finishing touches on it tonight. Mm-hmm. But what we do a lot of, I have a service here in my company called the Healing Pen Pal Program. And so what that means is that we get requests from all over the planet, and I have a group of 140 healers that I've taught over the years. And what we do is when people send a request to us, we will assign them a healer, and the healer will send them absentee. It's called absentee healing or distance healing. We send them healing every day for 2 weeks. And there's no charge, and all that we ask from people is that after the two-week period is up, they let us know how they're doing and if they need more healing. And so what we did, Art, this was, I think, last Thursday. There's a man in California who, his name is Guy Coggins, and Guy, I don't know if he invented the Aura machine. I think he did invent these machines. And, okay, so I called Guy, and because he and I had met at a conference a few years ago, and I said, okay, Guy, I want to be able to show people how absentee healing works. So I said, can you get one of your people there in San Francisco can you hook them up to one of the Aura machines? And I said, and then I'll be here in Minneapolis, and I will send them absentee healing. And I said, we'll talk on the phone while this is happening, and then you can record on your end if anything is happening, if any of the healing energy is showing up. And he said, yeah, let's do it. So he picked one of his employees who has a bad back, and we did it for, let's see, we did it. I don't know. I don't even know how long it lasted. Maybe 5 or 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. And what was cool was that, okay, I was sitting here and I had my eyes closed and I had my hands open and I was just asking God to please work through me, send a healing to Bob in California for his back. I started his lower back and I saw these different colors. So I would say, okay, right now I see blah, 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 there's orange, and now I'm moving up the back, and oh, there's a spot here, and okay, over here I see this, and now I see the color blue, it's turning into blue, but now it's going over, okay, and so it was really fun to observe it from my end, and then when we were all done, I asked Guy if he could give me any feedback.
We'll be right back with more with Ego Bodine on Reflections. You're listening to Reflections, the wisdom of Edgar Cayce. Let's continue our conversation with Ego Bodine.
And now I see the color blue. It's turning into blue, but now it's going over. Okay, and so it was really fun to observe it from my end. And then when we were all done, I asked Guy if he could give me any feedback. And he said, Echo, every color that you saw was exactly what showed up on the screen like 2 seconds later. Hmm. I mean, it was so cool. And so anyway, they are putting the finishing touches on that YouTube so that we can show people how absentee healing works. So I would be more than glad to send you some healing tonight.
Oh, thank you. You're going to be talking about, or at least on the schedule, it says you're going to be talking about intuition. Could you tell us about that?
Yes. Intuition is different from psychic abilities. And unfortunately, a lot of psychics these days, they don't want to call themselves psychics, and I know that it has a negative connotation to it, but they will tell people that they are an intuitive rather than say that they're psychic. And that confuses people. A lot of people just aren't sure, you know, why do some psychics say this and why do they say that? And I have been taught, and this is by my spirit guides more than my own psychic teacher taught me that, psychic abilities, most of our psychic abilities, at least three of them, are up in our head. We've got clairvoyance, which is seeing, clairaudience, which is hearing, clairgustance, which is smelling, and then we've got clairsentience, which is sensing. Okay. All those, well, three of the four are in our head. All right. Intuition is in our gut. And men almost always refer to their intuition as in their gut. Well, my gut says this, my gut says that. And women use a different term. They use the word knowing. And so women will say, I just know this is what I'm supposed to do. I just know this is the right thing to do. And you can ask them, well, how do you know that? Well, I don't know. I just know. Okay. Mm. And a lot of times they'll even point to their stomach, or they'll be patting their stomach as they're saying this. And so that is intuition. That's the inner voice. That's the still small voice that is talked about in the Bible, mm-hmm. in Kings. It says that where we find God is the still small voice within. And so I have come to believe that our intuition is actually the voice of God within each one of us. And that is in a different place than up in our head. I believe that God and our guides and our deceased loved ones all communicate to us through our psychic abilities and through our intuition. But I really do believe that that divine voice, that divine guidance in our gut, in our middle area, it can be in our heart area, it can be, again, usually between the heart and the stomach, mm-hmm. It's in there. It's that inner knowing that we have. Intuition is the absolute best. So I do help people recognize the difference between them. And then the thing that's also important for people developing their psychic abilities is to develop a relationship with their intuition, because it's their intuition that will help them in their psychic work, will help them to know if they are interpreting the information accurately. And it's a great partnership when we work the psychic abilities and intuition together. It's really cool.
I guess in the original Greek of the New Testament, in some parts where they say, you know, you can feel it in your heart, it's actually the original translation is in your gut. And for English, they translated it to heart, because that's how we relate to it.
You know, something else that I've noticed a lot lately, Art, probably in the last year, I've noticed it more than ever, is a lot of men on TV, like if you watch NCIS, you know, Gibbs is always talking about his gut. And I watched a cop show, that True Blood, Blue Bloods, I think it's called, with Tom Selleck. And they talk about, well, what does your gut say? Trust your gut. Always go with your gut. It's very interesting how this is becoming more and more mainstream. I am so glad that it is.
Oh, yes.
Because people, even though they still are, people still struggle with it, it's really cool. It's really bringing people's attention to it in a different way.
People say you are a ghostbuster. What does that involve?
You know what it involves is we go into a house. When I say we, I talk about my brother Michael and myself, because I come from a family of psychics. And so Michael and I will go into a house. You know, people are having symptoms like banging on the walls, or they hear footsteps, or something's turning the lights on and off, or TV or radio or computer. They hear voices. They hear slamming of doors. Something's turning the water faucet on. We had one house that we went to, the ghost kept turning the waste paper baskets upside down. Sometimes we've gone into houses where the ghosts have actually pulled people's clothes out of their closets, knocked things off their dressers. And so what we do is we can both see spirit. And so we go to people's homes and we walk through, and what we're looking for is a person, but they are transparent. And once we find them, we just ask them, you know, we walk right up to them and say, you know, what's your name? Why are you here? Why are you bothering these people? Why don't you want to go to the other side? And it's actually more like ghost counseling than ghost busting, because you can't really, how do you bust a ghost? But, the media, I mean, the whole thing with the Ghostbuster, that's where it all started, was when the movies came out. I said to my brother one day, do you realize we're Ghostbusters? And we started laughing. We just thought it was such a funny term, and the media kind of tagged us that. So that's where that comes from. But what it is, really, is it's us going in and talking to these souls who have chosen to remain earthbound. And so our job is to convince them that they really do need to move on and go into the light and start a new life. And sometimes that involves bringing deceased loved ones from the other side over to this side to talk to them. Sometimes it's about, oh gosh, one of the biggest reasons we've come across when we ask these souls, why are you still here? Why won't you go to the other side? Their answer is that they are afraid if they go to the other side that they are going to get sent to hell for bad things that they did in their life. And so they think that if they just hide out in a tanning parlor or, you know, a treatment center or a hospital, that God's never going to find them. And so they think that they're safe as long as they don't go to heaven. So many of these people that are stuck here are very stuck individuals. They just, some of them don't believe in life after death, and so they don't really know what to do. They don't trust the white light. They don't trust spirit guides that come and talk to them and say, hey, follow me. Let's, you know, I'll take you back home. They don't trust it. And some of them, we've met spirits who say, I don't want to go to heaven because my ex-husband is there and I hate him, or my ex-wife, or my father is there and he killed my mother, or, you know, there's a lot of course, human drama stories, and people, they don't want to go to heaven. They think that, well, if I go to heaven, then I'm going to have to deal with so-and-so. And so what we do is we just talk to them and say, you know what, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to deal with that person. When you get over to the other side, just say, you know, tell one of the greeters, I don't want to talk with that person yet. I'm not ready. So what our job really is about educating these souls about life after death, what it's like, you know, the rules, that it's not rigid like they think. I remember doing a ghost busting at a high school here in town, and there were, I met this young man, his name was Raymond, and he was a ghost, and I asked him, I said, how many of there are you here? And he said, a whole bunch. And I said, well, why are you all here? And he said, because heaven's going to be such a drag. And he said, we won't get to party, we won't get to play, we just go to heaven, and we get these angel wings, and then we just have to be serious. So that was his idea of what heaven was going to be like, and he didn't want to have anything to do with it. And we have found that with a lot of teenage souls, they don't want it. They just think it's going to be a real drag. So what I did was I said to him, okay, would you do me a big favor? And I said, because it would take me forever to go round everybody up, so would you go round up all the souls here and bring them to the auditorium? And he did. And then I just had a talk with all of them and just said, okay, I want you all to hold hands, and Raymond, would you lead the pack? And I want you to all go towards that white light, and it's going to be a wonderful experience. You need to treat yourself to this experience, because it's just, it's a marvelous place to go. And you can still party. You can still have a great time. There's lots of teenagers in heaven. And, you know, you can see their faces like, oh, wow, really? Oh, really? I can? It's just changing their beliefs, changing their perceptions of things, and then they move on to the light. And what's nice also is that we can see the light, and so we can see that they are moving into the light, and then we can see once they're through, they've moved on through the light and onto the other side, and it always feels really good.
We'll be right back with more with Ego Bodine on Reflections. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Ego Bodine.
They moved on through the light and onto the other side, and it always feels really good. You can feel that kind of release from being earthbound. So, yeah, that's what we do. And they look just like people. They're not scary. They're not, you know, people always ask me the question about evil. Have I ever seen an evil spirit? And let's see, I've been doing this 45 years probably, and I've never, ever met or seen an evil spirit. I have met really crabby people, really miserable people, but I've never encountered anything that looked freaky or like the movies, nothing. These are all just people who are earthbound for one reason or another, and our job is to convince them to go on.
Hmm. Is there a risk they will follow you home, the spirits?
You know what? You know, that's an interesting question, too, Art. A lot of people ask us that, you know, do we ever worry about them coming home with us? Here's the interesting thing about ghosts. They will pick a house to go and live in. Not necessarily the one that they died in. They will usually just, what they do is they'll maybe pick out a neighborhood that they like, one that's close to their old home, and they look around the neighborhood to see which of the houses have other spirits in them. And they usually will gravitate towards houses that are already haunted. And the other interesting thing is that they'll go in and everybody kind of stakes out their space.
Do you have any final thoughts before we go?
Oh, gosh. I'm just excited to come down there. I had so much fun last year. And it's such a nice group of people that come to those conferences down there. So I'm just looking forward to it. I think we're going to have a blast. I really do. I just can't wait. I just can't wait. And I can't wait to get to the ocean. We've got about, what have we got, like 17 inches of snow right now. We got a lot of snow, so
it'll
be wonderful. Just come down there and look at that big old beautiful ocean.
Well, thanks for being on the show today.
You're very welcome.
Now it's time for the Thought for the Day. And today's Thought for the Day will be read by Kimberly Rose, who has a new CD out titled Developing Your Intuition. She also has a new class about spiritual frequency that helps people to move into the moment. You can find out more at kimmyrose.com. That's KimmyRose.com. Hello.
Hello.
And what's today's thought for the day?
This is reading 2308-1. Then, in correcting the entity, do not ever break the entity's will. Reason with the entity, for the mental ability and aspects will incline to make the entity become stubborn. If there is an attempt to force or to cause the entity to act in any direction or manner, just because, tell the entity why. And here we go. You're looking at a situation. And there's the will, like the do not ever break the entity's will. The soul, the person's that will is that will of God within. And when you're reasoning, reasoning with the entity, it really can create a stubbornness, because what you're doing is, if you think about the mind and what the mind can do, it can look at things and it can go, well, this happened, or I should do this because of this, and you're going back and forth, and then you fight. That you do sometimes often see the dark and the light, and those two things fight against one another. And even with we could make this in relation to each other too. So instead of trying to manipulate or find reasons, I used to do this, okay? This is something I noticed I did. I would know that my partner at the time, I would know that this was really good for him, but he didn't really want to go to it. For instance, here's his birthday, and he really needed to have a birthday cake. So I spent all this time trying to convince him how important on his birthday it was to have a birthday cake. And I started about a week ahead of time, knowing that he would just want to sit and rest and watch TV. But I thought I knew what was best. And it really, truly created this automatic stubbornness and argument. And I wasn't listening and being present. What I should have just said, I really have the intention of wanting to make a cake for you in celebration of your birthday. But instead, I had to have all these reasons and distort it. And it really creates a fog between you how many times do we do that? We think ahead of time, I'm going to talk to this person. So, how am I going to explain it to them or sell it? And it's, you don't have to, just simply express in truth.
Oh, yes. And I can see that from the other side, perhaps in church or when you're learning a lesson that challenges what you feel, or if you believe something or politically or whatever, that you like to do something one way, like put a certain gas in your car, and somebody else tells you this other gas or something else will make it run better. And you think, well, no, that's not the way I do it. But if they explain it to you, then you may feel that feeling of stubbornness, but there's another feeling of acceptance, you know, kind of with it, and say, okay, it's different, but that makes sense. So, you know,
yeah, it's nice to be given that choice, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When someone explains it, it's a whole different feeling, and you go, oh, I see why. That makes a lot more sense. And that, what is it? That diffuses the stubborn emotion.
I love that. Can you say that again? Because I think that's a very good.
What's that? Explanation diffuses the stubborn emotion.
That's all the intention. You know, because that's so important, because we automatically know that, okay, this person's stubborn. So we diffuse it with a stubbornness back. It doesn't work. But mm-hmm. when we're in truth and explain, there's not a resistance. What do they say? Resistance creates a persistence. You don't ever come to that stillness.
Well, thanks for doing the thought for the day.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for the show today. Thanks to Echo Bodine for talking to us. Make sure to go to her website, echobodine.com. That's echobodine.com. Also, don't forget that Echo Bodine's also going to be at the Psychic Training Intensive, The Key to Unlocking Your Psychic Abilities, at the ARE in Virginia Beach from February 18th to the 20th. To find out more, go to edgarcasey.org, click on Events, and then click on Conferences. Thanks to Kimberly Rose for the thought for the day, and most of all to you, the listener. Thanks for listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce.